Good morning. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at two texts. We're going to be looking at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 can be found on page 1268 in your pew Bibles. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Hear now God's holy word. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead the people into more and more ungodliness. Okay, and then James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and this can be found on page 1290 in your pew Bibles. Page 1290. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. What causes fights? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Let us ask the Lord to bless the preaching and hearing of his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this wonderful day you've given to us, this Sabbath day, this day to rest and worship you. Lord, as we come before you now and take a deeper look at your word, we ask that you would take from our minds any distractions from our lives and that you would help us to focus completely on you. Lord, we ask that you would bring us encouragement where we need encouragement. And we ask that you would sanctify us and humble us where we need to be humbled. And Lord, we ask in particular that you would guide my mind and my mouth, and that I would only preach your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. During my first year of seminary, I worked as a caregiver for a year for a home nursing agency in the greater Pittsburgh area. And I took care of a number of elderly men in the east side, as well as a couple of married couples. And very quickly, there was one couple that became my favorites. They were delightful. The husband was 93 years old, and the wife was 87, and they had been married for 67 years. And one of the things that really stuck out to me about them was that they both had really sweet personalities. They both were an absolute joy to spend time with. But something that became very clear to me early on was that there was one issue of contention in their marriage. But it only happened on Mondays through Fridays at 4 o'clock p.m. And that one issue was Judge Judy. You see, the husband loved to watch Judge Judy. He would sit and he would watch her and he would nod as she began berating someone. And he would say what a wonderful judge she was. The wife thought that the two of them should take their evening nap at 4 o'clock p.m. And so every Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock p.m., they would bicker over whether they should watch Judge Judy or whether they should take a nap. And to be honest, I really thought it was cute. It was really funny. But one of the things that occurred to me was, what a silly thing to fight about. What a silly thing to quarrel about. They both had health issues. They both had lots of things going on in their lives, and yet they fought and bickered over such a silly, insignificant thing. But, you know, isn't that like each one of us? Don't each one of us fight and quarrel and bicker over the little things that don't seem to matter? Those are the things that often makes our blood boil. Things like who took the last cookie out of the cookie jar, or whether or not you want to watch a particular TV show in the evening, or whether your spouse or family members want to watch something else. Sometimes we fight in congregations. Maybe we're getting ready to put new carpeting in our sanctuary, and some people in the church want to have red carpet to symbolize the blood of Christ, and others, they want big, thick, brown shag carpet to cover up the stains. And so we begin to fight and quarrel over such seemingly insignificant things. But fighting and quarreling is not a new problem for us today, and it's not a new problem for the church. In fact, there's nothing new under the sun, and there are many examples throughout the scriptures of men and women fighting and quarreling. For example, Lot quarreled with Abraham, and Absalom created a war with his father David. The disciples of Jesus argued over who would be greatest. And at Corinth, Christians were suing one another, and at Philippi, two women were having trouble getting along. And James wrote this epistle, he wrote this chapter in this epistle to give us wisdom and insight and how to deal with the fighting and quarreling that often plagues us in the church. And in particular, Paul wrote this section of 2 Timothy. He wrote this letter to Timothy to give Timothy wisdom and guidance on how to deal with the fighting and quarreling that he would face in the church. But in particular, he wrote it and to give Timothy wisdom on how to deal with this fighting and quarreling in a pastoral way. And this is really the theme of our message this morning. And that is that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Well, this morning we will be taking a look at the texts and really asking three questions. The first question is, why do we quarrel? The second question is, what is the problem with quarreling? And the third question is, what is the solution or the cure for conflict? So, why do we quarrel? What are some of the reasons why we quarrel? Well, please take another look at James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 with me. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So James tells us that our fights and quarrels are driven by the passions within us. But a better translation of this text is that our fights and quarrels are driven by the lusts of our hearts. That is, our fights and quarrels are driven by our idolatrous hearts. Our fights and quarrels are driven by our sinful desires. Maybe we want what another person has. Maybe we're jealous because they have a prettier home than we do. Maybe they have a nicer car. Maybe we're jealous because someone else is married and we would like to be married. Sometimes we can become jealous of others because maybe they receive a certain level of respect that we wish that we received. Maybe we want something in a congregational meeting and we'll make no bones about it. Maybe I'm that one person in the congregation that wants brown shag carpet, and I'm going to make that the hill that I'm willing to die on. And so we begin to fight and quarrel. You see, so often our desire is to satisfy our own pleasures like power and possessions. And so often that's what makes us fight with others. You see, so often the key problem is selfishness. The key problem is that we're not humble, but rather we're selfish. We have a love of self. We don't view others as more important than us, than ourselves. One commentator, when looking at this passage, he said, "So often we engage earnestly in contentious disputes, which are commonly produced by a foolish desire of being ingenious. Sometimes we fight and quarrel because we want to be viewed as more intelligent than others. Sometimes we want others to think we're smarter than them. Sometimes we want to have more respect than others. Oftentimes we fight and quarrel because we have wrong-thinking hearts. In Timothy's situation, men and women were quarreling over words. Please look again at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 with me. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Well, in Timothy's situation, men and women were quarreling over words. Well, how do we quarrel over words? How do we quarrel or fight over words? Well, maybe we're in conversation with a brother or sister in Christ that comes from another Christian tradition. And maybe in conversation with them, we can tell from the context of what they're saying that perhaps they believe the exact same thing that we do. Maybe they're just saying it differently. Maybe they're using words a little bit differently than we would. And sometimes we spend a lot of time bickering over words and over terminology. Now, words are important, and words have a meaning. But if we're bickering over the terminology that someone's using, when we know that they're saying the very same thing that we are, just in maybe a different way, we're quarreling over words. We're creating division in the body of Christ. And this is often the case for young men and women, but particularly young men who come into the Reformed tradition. They sometimes become so excited about Reformed theology that they almost become argumentative and vigorous. It's almost like they're laying traps for us to trip over. Sometimes they become very argumentative. John Calvin said that there are some who are always armed for fighting with the tongue, and who in every question are looking for grounds of quarreling, and who go so far as to lay snares around every word and syllable. But they are carried in a wrong direction by ambition, and sometimes by an almost fatal disease, which I have experienced in some. Sometimes we bicker and fight over words, creating division in the body of Christ. But friends, ultimately we fight and quarrel because it's Satan's desire that we would fight and quarrel. Satan is like a roaring lion, and he seeks to cause disorder in God's church. See, it's not Satan's desire that the church would come together in unity. It's Satan's desire that the church would break apart. He's like a roaring lion, and he seeks to cause disorder in the body of Christ. So we've established some of the reasons why we fight and quarrel. But why is fighting and quarreling a problem? Why is it a problem for us? Well, fighting and quarreling is first a problem because it isn't glorifying to God. In Psalm 133, the psalmist says that God calls us to live together in love and harmony. See, God calls us to live together in fellowship with one another. God calls us to love one another. In fact, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus also said, "People will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another." And so when we fight and quarrel with one another, what does that say about the love that we have for one another? Well, fighting and quarreling is also a problem because it breaks fellowship among believers. Think about it this way. When I was in undergraduate school, I went to Geneva College, and I was a music major. And one of my mentors, one of my professors, was Dr. Bob Copeland. I'm sure a lot of you know him. And Dr. Copeland, he mentored me throughout college. In fact, we met once a week for lunch. We would talk about a lot of different things, and we would pray together and have fellowship. So I had a relationship with Dr. Copeland as a professor-student relationship. I had a mentor-mentee relationship, but we also had a relationship as brothers in Christ. But what if, in the middle of class one day, what if I stood up and began berating Dr. Copeland? It would be incredibly inappropriate. And there could be a number of consequences. Like I could be kicked out of class, or I could have been, I could have received a failing grade for the semester, or maybe I could have been expelled from Geneva. But worse than that, the greater damage would have been to my relationship with Dr. Copeland as brothers in Christ. And I would have needed to go to Dr. Copeland and ask for forgiveness for sinning against him. But you see, if I was in a major fight with Dr. Copeland, if the two of us were quarreling, if we were in a contentious dispute, it doesn't just affect the two of us, it affects others as well. And so often when we think of fighting and quarreling in the church, we only think about how it affects us, either just us or maybe one other person. But we don't think about how it affects the greater body. But friends, the body of Christ is truly a body, and each person has gifts and abilities that God has given them to build up the greater body. And when one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body hurts as well. If I were in a contentious dispute with Dr. Copeland, others might start gossiping about it. You might begin hearing people say, "Oh, did you hear about that fight that Dr. Copeland and Jordan are having?" Or others might get involved and arrows might begin flying. And it hurts the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is made up of many members. And when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts as well. A few months ago, my friend Patrick had a toothache. In fact, it wasn't just a toothache, it was a dental abscess. And Patrick's a big guy. And the tooth is a relatively small member of his body. But that tooth caused a multitude of pain. In fact, he developed a fever. He was in excruciating pain. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. His face began to swell up, all because of a small tooth. But friends, that's what happens in the body of Christ when one group or one or even two people are bickering and fighting. It begins to impact the greater body of Christ. According to Paul, when we fight and quarrel, it only destroys the listener or ruins the hearer. Please take a look at 2 Timothy with me again. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Paul tells Timothy that when we fight and quarrel in the church, it destroys the listener. Well, how does it destroy the listener? How does fighting and quarreling destroy the listener? Think about new converts. Perhaps we have a new convert in our congregation, and they're a new creature created in Christ. The old has passed away and the new has come. But then perhaps they see fighting and quarreling rising up. It could cause them to question their faith. It could cause them to question whether they really want to be with this group of people. Fighting and quarreling deeply hurts mature believers. Fighting and quarreling can discourage them and cause them to leave the church. Fighting and quarreling deeply hurts elderly saints as they see young men and women that they've seen grow up in the church, as they see them fight and quarrel. It discourages them. It breaks their hearts. But friends, I think the greater problem is that fighting and quarreling brings shame upon Christ and his church. So often, when unbelievers look upon us and we're fighting and quarreling with one another, they say, if that's how Christians act, I don't want to be one. Over Memorial Day weekend, I went home and spent the weekend with my family. And there's a church in our town that's a good, solid church. They preach the gospel every Sunday. And I've known that they've been having some problems over the last year or so because it has to do with facilities. See, the congregation has grown large enough that they either need a new building or they need to add an addition onto the current building. And initially, everyone was on board. They were going to purchase a 10-acre lot somewhere. They were going to build an entirely new building on that property. And everybody was on board until one of the elders came forward and said, "Well, I think it's a great property. The only problem is that 3/4 of it floods." And so immediately it created division in the church. See, there are still people that want to purchase that 10-acre property. But then there are others that would rather add an addition onto the current church. And so they've been fighting and quarreling about this. And some of it has actually become quite public on Facebook. And so I knew that this was happening. But over Memorial Day, I ran into a friend of mine from my childhood that is an unbeliever and has been outspokenly anti-Christian. And he actually brought up to me this church that was quarreling and fighting over facilities. And he said to me, "That is why I don't want to be a Christian. That's why I don't want to be a Christian." And it was really heartbreaking to hear him say that, to hear that he was looking in on the church and that he was saying, "I don't want to be a Christian because that's how Christians act." See, when we fight and quarrel, we bring shame upon Christ and his church. Well, we've talked a little bit about why we quarrel. We've talked about why it's a problem, why quarreling is a problem. But what is the solution to quarreling? What is the cure for conflict? Well, conflict must first be fixed in our hearts. Remember, our hearts are filled with sinful desires. And so we must submit ourselves to God in humility. Please take a look at me with James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." So James tells us to submit ourselves to God in humility. And submission is saying, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done, O Lord." When someone is trying to engage in a quarrel with us, the easy thing to do is to come out fighting. The easy thing to do is to come out with both arms swinging. The harder thing to do, but the right thing to do, is to submit to God and not engage in such behavior. But it isn't just about an outward action. In fact, it is possible for us to submit outwardly. That is, sometimes we might try to put on a good front so others will think well of us. You see, it is possible to submit outwardly and not actually be humble inwardly. But a true mourning of our sins is how we can humble ourselves before God. James tells us, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." But how do we do this? Well, as James tells us, to cleanse our hands, that is, ask for forgiveness of our sins. He says, "Purify your hearts," that is to be single-minded in our devotion to God, to not think about how we can feed our own desires, but to only do that which God has revealed to us in his word. When Paul begins speaking to Timothy in chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, prior to that, he's just again proclaimed the gospel. He's just again shared the gospel. And Paul starts by saying, "Remind them of these things." That is, remember the gospel. Remind them of the gospel. He tells Timothy to look to Christ and to remember the gospel and to study the word of God that he may find himself approved by him. James says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Sometimes we need to resist the devil by not engaging in quarrels. For as Proverbs 23 tells us, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Now, some of you might be thinking right now that you can't possibly show restraint. Some of you might be thinking that when you're backed in a corner and someone is trying to engage in a quarrel with you, that your first instinct is to come out fighting. But friends, I want to encourage you that God is always, always willing to extend more grace to us. I want you to look one more time with me at James chapter 4, verse 6. James says, but he, and the he is referring to God, he says, but he gives more grace. Some translations say, but he gives a greater grace. In fact, some translations, some theologians actually translate this text as, but God gives more grace. And I don't know about you, but I find the phrase, but God, one of the most humbling and precious phrases in all of the scriptures. You see, we were all born dead in our sin, unable to even think about calling out to the Lord. But God, in his mercy, sent his Son to come to earth and live as a man. And God the Son lived a perfect life. And yet he willingly died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And each one of us has gone astray. Each one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us has engaged in contentious disputes. But God, in his mercy, has sent his Holy Spirit to bring us to a realization of our sin. And friends, we weren't worthy. We weren't worthy of forgiveness, but God has given it anyway. And of ourselves, we're unable to do good. And of ourselves, we're unable to refrain from fighting and quarreling. The desire of our own hearts is to come out with both arms swinging. But God, in his mercy, has sent his Holy Spirit to cause us to grow in holiness. And this sanctification process takes time. And brothers and sisters, we will continue to sin in this life. We will continue to fight and quarrel in this life. There will be times in this life when we're led by our own sinful desires or by the temptation of the evil one to fight and quarrel with those around us. And in those times, we may be overcome with grief over our sin. But in those times, we must remember that God's grace is sufficient and his mercy is new each morning, and that he is always, always willing to extend more grace to us. This morning, James and Paul really get to the heart of the issue when it involves fighting and quarreling in the church. And the reality is that we will fight and quarrel until Christ returns. But God has given us instruction in how we ought to refrain from such behavior. When we're tempted to fight and quarrel, we ought to remember to humble ourselves before the Lord. We ought to draw close to God and resist the devil. We need to remember the gospel and remind one another of the gospel. But when we fall, when we sin, when we engage in contentious disputes and quarreling, we must not forget that God always, always extends more grace to us. When we slip up, when we sin, we must lay all those sins at the foot of the cross. For his grace is sufficient and his mercy is new each morning. Therefore, friends, when we are tempted to quarrel, remember that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Remember that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for the way that your word speaks to our hearts. We thank you for the way that you convict us of our sin. But we also thank you for the way that you encourage us. But Father, we thank you in particular for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his willingness to come to earth and live as a man, live a perfect life, and die for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could spend eternity united to you. Lord, as we go out this week, we ask that you would give us the strength by the power of your Spirit to not engage in contentious disputes or frivolous quarrels, but that you would help us to be a light to those around us, sharing the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please turn in your Psalters to Psalm 51b. Psalm 51b. Let's stand and sing together.